There is nothing wrong with your radio. Do not attempt to change the station. We are controlling the transmission. We control the volume.
We can change the tone to a fuzzy bass.
Or focus it to a tinny treble.
We can speed things up so fast you can hardly understand what's being said.
Or we can make things so slow you don't care.
We control the content. We can make it boring.
Mystery Playhouse.
Or moronic.
90.1.
We can even make it repetitive.
Mystery Playhouse.
Or moronic.
90.1.
We can even make it repetitive. It's our show. We can do anything we want, because this is...
Mystery Playhouse, 90.1.
Good evening, and welcome once more to the Mystery Playhouse. I am the Count, your host of horror. Come in. I was just taking care of my pet snake, Cuddles. She's my favorite boa constrictor. In fact, I call her a watchdog because she always watches them before eating them, Yes, she likes cats too, but the two are like red and white wine. They don't go good together when you dine, You have to remember, see, snakes swallow their victims whole, no chewing. In fact, once Cuddles ate a convict and had to devour the entire chain gang, Oh, yes. And you thought chain smoking was bad, really, huh? No, really, you should have seen it. It was just like striped spaghetti, only these noodles went head first, But since then, Cuddles has acquired the taste for criminals. Just the other night, some robbers tried to rip me off, and Cuddles coiled their plans, Which reminds me of tonight's super scary show. It's so frightening it'll make you cold-blooded, Yes, we'll hear the Weird Circle's Mad Moncton, along with Dimension X's Pebble in the Sky. But first, it's the Shadow with the Hypnotized Audience So Scary!
Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men? The shadow knows.
Ladies and gentlemen, The Shadow's exciting adventure starts in just a moment. But first, here's one of the most important announcements ever made in the history of motoring. It's about a new kind of tire, the new Goodrich Safety Silvertown. And it's really two great tires combined in one. Because inside the tire, you get the famous golden ply protection against high-speed blowouts. And outside, it has the amazing new Lifesaver tread. Road tests by the nation's largest independent testing laboratory have proved that this new Silvertown with the Lifesaver tread gives greater resistance to skids than any other tires tested, including tires listed at from 40% to 70% higher in price. Furthermore, these impartial tests also proved that the new Silvertown averaged 19.1% more non-skid mileage than other tires priced the same. Think of it. That's the same as saying you'll get every sixth mile free. Remember, this new Silvertown is different from any other tire you've ever seen or ridden on before. And when you first test its grip on a wet, slippery pavement, you'll realize that you've never before had such a remarkable protection against dangerous skids. For safety's sake, ride on the new Goodrich, spelled G-O-O-D-R-I-C-H. Goodrich Safety Silvertown. The Shadow, Lamont Cranston, a man of wealth, a student of science, and a master of other people's minds, devotes his life to righting wrongs, protecting the innocent, and punishing the guilty. Using advanced methods that may ultimately become available to all law enforcement agencies, Cranston is known to the underworld as the Shadow. Never seen, only heard. As haunting to superstitious minds as a ghost. As inevitable as a guilty conscience. The Shadow's true identity is known only to his constant friend and aide, Margot Lane. Today's story, The Hypnotized Audience.
Hold it there, Miss Kahn. That's just the pose we want.
Look this way, Mr. Kahn. Gentlemen of the press, please, please, my master Durga Khan has already answered too many questions.
Oh, you needn't get tough about it, Sultan.
You must excuse my servant, Ahmed, gentlemen. Your reception, it is overwhelmed.
Well, that's all right, Durga Khan.
He fears I may be too tired to dance tonight.
Are you really going right to the boat to the theater?
Yes, that is the plan. Now, I must beg to be excused. I must get ashore.
Okay, okay. Come along, gang. Thanks, Durga Khan.
That's the famous thing.
Master, they took so many pictures.
All the better. To them, Durga Khan is merely a famous Oriental dancer and mystic. It would be amusing to see what they would print if they knew our real purpose in giving this recital.
Yes, Master. Come, come quickly.
Steady there. Easy down the gangplank. Watch your step there. Get off.
Master.
Yes, Ahmed. Look, the Princess Zada. She came to the pier herself.
Zada? Where is she?
Over that way, see? Standing alone behind the barricade.
Yes, yes, she sees us, the little fool. Ahmed, send the men off while I talk to the princess.
Yes, master.
Zada.
Oh, Durga Khan, what a sad day is this for thy father's house.
Quiet. Come away from the crowd. You should not have come.
Do you think my nerves are made of steel? My husband
Your husband is Durga Khan's brother, my brother. If I say wait, you wait.
But in 9 hours, they will kill him. Durga Khan in their electric chair.
There shall be no execution. In 24 hours, my brother shall be free.
We have not got 24 hours. The execution
is set for 3 tomorrow morning. There is still time. We will delay the electrocution. That done, tomorrow there will be a jailbreak. My brother will escape.
Yes, but
listen to me, Zada, listen.
Yes, my lord.
This Governor Barnes, he will be at the dance recital?
He will be there.
Then tonight the Honorable Governor will grant a stay of execution to your husband, Princess Zada.
A stay?
A stay of 24 hours, which will be long enough. Now that I am here, the prison break will be no problem.
But if the Governor will not grant the stay, if my husband really dies...
Hakim will not die. When Durga Khan asks a favor, he asks in a special way. Zada governors, not even kings, refuse.
This is not India, Durga Khan. They will guard this. Governor Bond.
Against my powers, Zada, there is no guard. Go to the house in the country. Wait there for me.
If you fail.
Fail. When Durga Khan dances, there is no thought of failure. And tonight, Zada, he dances for his brother's life.
Cigarette, Margot?
Oh, thank you, Lamont. You must admit the man is an art.
Yes, of course. Durga Khan is certainly the greatest Oriental dancer of the day. His dances, they have the strange, mystic fascination of the East.
I just love Oriental poetry.
Everything Oriental's perfect, you know. That woman's forgotten all about another Oriental. She's preparing to die, only a few miles away.
You mean Joseph Hakim, the murderer?
Exactly. No one applauded his display of Oriental culture, and he's from the same section as Durga Khan and of the same caste.
But Lamont, Hakim's a brutal murderer.
Certainly. He's to die tonight in the electric chair, nevertheless. He's a product of the same civilization as the artistic Durga Khan.
Oh, look, there's Police Commissioner Weston.
Yes, I saw him in his box.
Coming over here. Hello, Commissioner Weston.
Oh, Margot Lane. Hello, Cranston.
How do you like the show?
I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the governor.
Governor Barnes?
The governor isn't here.
Not yet. What with the execution and everything, he couldn't get away early. He's coming for the last half of the recital.
You mean Governor Barnes is actually leaving the State House tonight?
Yes. Barnes is hipped on seeing this dancing fellow.
I suppose he's wanted by the prison.
Now, that's taken care of. I have one of my men keeping a special wire open here to the theater.
Wasn't a pleasant case, was it, Commissioner?
No, no, sir. Plain, cold-blooded butchery.
Here comes Governor Barnes.
So, Commissioner Weston, did I miss much?
Not too much, Governor. Still intermission.
Margot Lane and young Cranston. Well, tell me, is this Durga Khan as great as they say?
Every bit.
Fine. Well, I must get to my box. Coming, Commissioner?
Yes, Governor. It's this way.
We'd better get back, Lamont. There goes the buzzer.
All right, Margot.
Let's go back to our seat.
But after that first half of the program, Durga Khan's got to be wonderful. What can he do to top it? The looks of the bright flame from that lamp on the altar.
Well, Lamont, it's a lovely blue. I've never seen that color before.
I've only seen it once, Margot. Something rather curious happened that time.
She's getting ready to dance again.
Yes.
Where's Governor Barnes, Lamont? I've been trying to spot him.
Commissioner Weston's box, see? Oh. Sitting in the rear.
Shh, Lamont. Durga Khan's going to speak.
Ladies and gentlemen, now I will recite for you a mystic prayer. It is more ancient than the rivers of India. There is no translation for this prayer. You must let my dance interpret it for you.
Well, this is something new.
Please, let's listen.
That doesn't make sense.
Please, Lamont, don't disturb it.
Margot.
Yes?
Margot, that's hypnotism. He's trying to hypnotize the audience.
Isn't it wonderful?
Margot, listen. Listen. Can't you hear me?
A lovely chant.
Margot, use your will, Margot. Your will.
Oh.
Ashamed of you, Margot. Margot. She's under Khan's spell. Good Lord, everyone is. An entire audience. Even I can feel the influence. Mass hypnotism. But why? Why is Durga Khan exerting his will on all these people? Margot. Margot, listen to me, dear. Listen. Fight against it. Fight.
I can't.
Give me your hand. Now. Come back, Margot. Come back.
What's the matter?
Steady, my dear. Durga Khan's giving a remarkable exhibition of mass hypnotism, that's all.
Mass hypnotism?
Yes, he has the whole audience spellbound.
Oh, Lamont, that chant.
Don't listen. Don't look at that blue flame. Look up in the boxes, at anything, at Westerners. Great heaven.
Lamont, what is it?
Look. Margot, two men just grabbed Governor Barnes.
The governor?
Yes, they're dragging him from the box.
Stop, Weston! Everyone, listen to me! The governor has been kidnapped!
What a thunderstorm.
Oh, Commissioner, step on it, Margot. We can't lose sight of Durga Khan's car.
Don't worry, Lamont, I won't.
Cranston, I've got to get back to town. This chase into the country is ridiculous.
They're turning off a highway.
Why should Durga Khan kidnap Governor Barnes?
Look, Lamont, there's a house on that hilltop. That's where Durga Khan is headed for. It's an ideal place to hide the governor, Commissioner.
Well, we can't raid every lonely house in the country.
Hurry, Margot, we've got to get into that house.
Yes, Lamont.
Margot, look out, stop!
Great
Scott. We nearly hit that telephone pole. The storm has blown it over, halfway into the road.
Yes, you could touch the wires if you wanted to. Cut your motor, Margot. We'll walk the rest of the way.
Or shall I come along?
No, you stay here.
Oh, hurry up, Cranston. Let's get this whole thing over.
Get the shortwave radio equipment ready and stand by for a call.
Yes, do be careful, Lamont. Durga Khan's a powerful and dangerous man.
Yes, my dear, but so is a certain friend of ours. The Shadow.
Ladies and gentlemen, how will this exciting adventure of the Shadow turn out? One moment and we shall see. Meanwhile, motorists, think of the chances you take on wet, slippery roads with smooth, worn tires. If your car suddenly swerved out of control, could you stop? Who knows what hazards await you?
The Shadow knows. Beware. Thousands of people were killed or injured by skidding cars last year.
Yes, and Goodrich, too, knows the dangers of skidding. That's why Goodrich spent years developing a new kind of tire to give the greatest protection ever offered against skids. It's the new Goodrich Safety Silver Town with the Lifesaver Tread. Every inch of this new Lifesaver Tread is especially designed to dry the road under your car. In fact, motorists, the spiral bars of this tread act like a battery of windshield wipers. They sweep the water right and left, force it out through the deep grooves, make a dry track for the rubber to grip. Don't buy any tire until you've at least seen this new Goodrich Silvertown with the Lifesaver Tread. Ride on it. Feel it grip. Feel it stop you quicker, safer than you've ever stopped before. Then you'll understand why a Silvertown stop may save your life.
No answer, Commissioner Weston.
No. Wait, Lamont. Someone's coming now.
Yes?
We want to see Durga Khan.
The master is resting.
I'm sorry. I'm Commissioner Weston, Police Department.
You cannot enter. Go away.
Now, look here.
The master must not be
disturbed.
Hold
on there.
Ahmed, what is this?
Two gentlemen, master. Police.
It's Commissioner Weston, Durga Khan.
Let them enter, Ahmed.
Yes, master. Step in, please.
Thank you.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Sorry to disturb you, Durga Khan.
It is late, Commissioner. Hardly the hour for a social call.
We'd just like to ask you some questions, sir, about the governor's disappearance.
So? You may go, Ahmed.
Yes, Master.
Gentlemen, I know nothing.
You don't mind if we look around a bit, Mr. Formality?
Look around?
Well, yes.
You mean you desire to search my house?
Merely a matter of routine, sir.
Routine or no routine, it is an insult.
You don't understand, sir.
The home of Durga Khan to be searched like the den of a common criminal.
But if you...
I will not allow it. Durga Khan's blood is royal. In every country in the world, his privacy is respected. I will complain to your government.
You are forcing us to go and get a search warrant, Durga Khan.
Search warrant?
Cranston, do you think all this is necessary?
Durga Khan really has nothing to hide.
No, of course I have not. Perhaps I have been too hasty. It is, I suppose, part of your customary routine, this search.
Yes, sir, yes, sir. Nothing personal, you understand?
In that case, come. I will conduct you myself. Now, this room here. Wait till I switch on the lights. Step in, gentlemen.
Say, this is some layout.
Copy of the inside of a temple, isn't it?
Yes. You see, I have fitted it even with an altar.
What's that curtain behind the altar, sir?
That covers the sacred flame, Mr. Cranston. Wait, I will unveil it.
You know, Cranston, this place is enough to give you the creeps.
Yes, it is. It's marvelously beautiful, and yet...
Look, gentlemen, the sacred flame.
Why, that's the same sort of a fire that he had on the stage, isn't it?
Yes. That looks very familiar, Durga Khan.
Familiar? In what way?
Well, Mr. Cranston here had a rather strange idea about the governor's kidnapping. He links it up with hypnotism.
Hypnotism? What hypnotism?
Oh, it's just an idea of Cranston's.
1 minute, Commissioner. Durga Khan, that oriental prayer of yours, it seemed to have, well, a hypnotic influence on me. In fact, on the whole audience.
You must be mistaken, Mr. Cranston. Durga Khan is a dancer, not a hypnotist.
That's what I said.
But that prayer...
The prayer is harmless, my friends. Look, Durga Khan will recite it for you quickly. It is a simple petition to one of my country's gods. Listen, gentlemen. Men so ampad mani hom lalani muwenteyas.
Oh. Cranston. You feel sleepy?
Yes. Very.
That's enough, Khan. Stop, I said. Stop.
Chant. It got me.
Cranston. Wake up. Cranston. Stop. Durga Khan, or I'll shoot.
You can't shoot, Commissioner. Like the clever Mr. Cranston, you can only fall. 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 Ah, sleep, fools. Did you think to resist the power of Durga Khan? Now, search my house. Do. You will find your governor safe in my hands, no? You lie still. Durga Khan is your master. Will return before you awake. Rest. Sleep.
So, you think you can cast your spell over me, Durga Khan? Never. Now let it be a war of wills. You against the shadow.
Margot Lane. Margot Lane. The shadow calling Margot Lane.
Lamont, this is Margot.
Governor Barnes is here, so is Commissioner Weston. Both prisoners.
Lamont, Durga Khan's men came searching and I had to leave the car. They've wrecked the engine.
I was afraid they might. Now listen. There's a telephone apparatus in the right-hand pocket of the car. Rig it up to the telephone wires where the pole has fallen. Can you reach the wires?
Yes, they're quite low.
When you get the operator, ask her to trace the call and send help. Then tell her to stay off the wire.
Stay off the wire?
Yes, if I'm right, the governor will make a call from here very soon. You must intercept that call. You must pose as the operator at the state prison and the warden secretary. Her name is Miss Pierce. Take the governor's message. It'll be about a stay of execution for the murderer, Joseph Hakim. Say you will give the warden that message, understand?
Yes, Lamont.
I'll protect the governor. Durga Khan does not know about the shadow. That is all.
Turn the wheel and the rack a little more, men. Let Governor Barnes know what is really in store for him.
Yes, master.
Durga Khan, we have not much time.
Time enough, Princess Dada. My brother is not to die for a full hour. In half that time, the governor will be begging to do our bidding.
You're wrong. I'll never break.
You must.
Quiet, Zadar. Durga Khan commands here. Listen to me, Governor Barnes. Either you form the prison and stop the execution, or this torture will grow worse and worse.
I will not do it. Hakim is going to pay for that murder.
Yes? Another turn of the wheel, then.
Yes, master.
Durga Khan, what about those two men downstairs?
I have hypnotized them, put them to sleep. I sent Ahmed to bind them. Men, twist the wheel.
Master!
What is it, Ahmed?
Master, one of the men you put under your power has disappeared.
Disappeared?
The Commissioner Weston, he is asleep. The other one is gone.
Impossible.
He's not in the temple, Master. I searched everywhere.
He must have revived and fled. Oh, Durga Khan, what shall we do?
Have no fear, Zadar. He cannot have gone far, but we must catch him. We must search the house.
Yes, Master.
Now, you are the two. You hunt through the grounds.
Yes, Master.
Come, Zadar, come. We must find him. We must.
Yes, Master.
Lock the door, Ahmed.
Governor Barnes.
Who is that? Who spoke?
A friend, Governor. I am here in the shadows. You cannot see me, but I am here to help you.
Who are you?
Some call me the Shadow.
The Shadow? I have heard of him.
Governor Barnes, Durga Khan does not know I am in this room.
Then get me out of here.
Not so easy. Listen, Governor Barnes. Listen closely. I've sent for help. But you must make that phone call to the prison for Durga Khan. You must. Let me explain. You will not suffer any more. But act as though you were in agony.
I'll do it! Stop hurting me! I'll do it!
Good, Governor Barnes.
Hurry, Durga Khan. Dial the prison phone number.
Yes, Zadar. Do not worry. There is still time. Loosen the wheel a little, Ahmed.
Yes, Master.
Please. No more torture.
No more torture, Governor. But you are a very stubborn man.
Durga, the phone.
You promised to loosen my bonds.
After the call, Governor. Hello.
Oh, they must answer. They must.
They will, Zadar. Remember, Governor, it is your life or my brother's. There will be no tricks.
I said I'd make the call.
Shh. It talks.
State prison.
All right, Governor. Ahmed, your knife is at the Governor's throat.
Yes, Master.
Speak, Governor, speak.
Hello, state prison.
Hello, this is Governor Barnes. The warden's office, please.
Yes, Governor, just a minute.
Remember, Governor, one false move and death.
Warden's office.
The woman. Ask who it is.
Hello. This is Governor Barnes. Who's talking?
Miss Pierce, Governor, the Warden's secretary.
Miss Pierce, rather. Is that the name?
Yes.
Go ahead, Governor.
Miss Pierce, I want a stay of execution for Joseph Hakim.
Joseph Hakim?
Yes, hurry. Tell the warden.
Oh, don't worry, Governor. We'll stop it.
It will be stopped.
Yes. And tomorrow the prison break. And your husband will be a free man.
You'll never get away with this.
You think your friends may trace that call, Governor? Perhaps. But when they reach here, we will be gone.
Hakim, my husband, free.
And what about me? You promised I'd go free if I made the call.
Dog, the Governor Ahmed. He annoys me.
Yes, Master.
You treacherous devil! Oh!
He is gagged, Master.
Durgar Khan is not a fool, Governor. You would make too good a witness. I cannot let you live to accuse me. Ahmed.
Yes, Master.
Silence the Governor. Forever. With your knife.
Yes, Master.
You fool. You dropped the knife.
No, Master. Someone gripped my arm.
There is no one here.
There is, Princess. I am here. The shadow.
Master, there is only the voice.
Who are you that speaks and is not seen?
One whose power is greater than yours, Durga Khan. The shadow.
Durga Khan, this unseen one.
He cannot stop us now, Zaba. Ahmed, get the car ready.
Yes, Master.
You are wrong, Durga Khan. I can stop you.
No, Shadow. Can your cloak of invisibility stop a bullet?
The gun is useless, Durga Khan. No marksman can hit what he cannot see.
Ah, but I can see the Governor, Shadow. He is still my hostage. We are leaving here. And if the Shadow attempts to stop us, the Governor dies.
You cannot escape the Shadow, Durga Khan.
No? Here, Zada, take this gun. If I give the word, shoot the Governor.
Yes, Durga Khan.
A life for a life, Shadow. We live in peace or Barnes and Weston die. Now, you must bargain with me, Shadow.
Great is Durga Khan. He talks while his brother dies.
His brother dies?
My brother lives. I saved
Princess
him.
Princess Zada, this man with his dreams of power has deceived you. He has not saved Joseph Hakim.
You must be mad.
Even now, Princess, your husband is dead.
Wild talk, Shadow, and false.
Truth, Durga Khan. You cannot stop the course of justice by the power of your will. Hakim is dead. Your kidnapping was in vain.
He lies, Zada. Shoot the Governor.
Princess, wait.
Zada, obey my order.
Listen, Princess. You wish to know the truth about your husband.
Yes, O voice.
Oh, Zada.
Listen. Turn on the radio here. Time for the news. Listen and learn if Joseph Hakim was saved tonight or not.
And that is the weather report for tonight.
Listen, Princess.
And now we bring you a news flash which just arrived in the studio. Exactly 2 minutes ago, Joseph Hakim was executed at state prison for murder. Hakim walked to the death chamber unaided, and he...
There must be some mistake.
Durga Khan, you faithless one. You have so many promises. You, the false brother. The mistake was in my trusting you.
That was the mistake, Princess Zada.
Zada, put that gun down. Zada, Durga Khan speaks.
Durga Khan speaks for the last time.
Put down that gun, Princess.
No, no, Hakim, my husband is dead. What is there left for me but death?
Shot herself.
Let go of me.
Master, we have caught another woman.
Oh, they're dead.
Release the girl, Ahmed.
Where is the voice? What is it?
It is the voice of the shadow men of Durga Khan. Your chief, Durga Khan, is dead. Your Princess Zada is dead. Release the prisoners and go.
Master.
Ahmed.
Master.
The blood of Durga Khan is no more. The police are coming, Ahmed.
Yes, Shadow. Yes.
So, the great Durga Khan is dead.
Yes, Margot. He forgot that laws were for all men. Not only for the poor and the weak. Durga Khan had great talent, power. But he used it for evil. And it cost him his life.
You have been listening to a dramatized version of one of the many copyrighted stories which appear in the Shadow magazine.
The weed of crime bears bitter fruit. Crime does not pay. The shadow knows.
That hypnotized audience. Hey, what'd you think about that suicide scene? It reminded me of my ex-wives.
Yeah.
They were always shooting off their mouths, huh?
Really, that's what I said.
Hey, I'd say this much, though. At least when they did, it would stop them from chewing you out anymore, huh? That's what they said. But in this instance, I was sad to see the victim go. No, really. That old Durga Khan, I really wanted him to sign an epitaph, huh? After all, it was his last live performance, huh? Hey, what a wasted talent, though. Just think of it. Hypnotism. You could have any woman you wanted. But now the only significant stare Durga will give is dead room eyes, huh? Hey, how did you like that stunt the governor pulled, though? Really? Lying about the execution? I guess all that time on the rack made him stretch the truth, huh? You would have thought a little mind reading could have prevented that deception, huh? See if the governor was shooting from the hypnotized? But I guess Durga blew it, though, because now the only magic he'll practice is crypnotism, huh? Up next, it's a Wheel Circle with Mad Munkin Sasuke!
The past, phantoms of a world gone by, speak again the immortal tale, Mad Monkton. When in Wincott Vault a place waits for one of Monkton's race, when that one forlorn shall lie graveless under open sky, that shall be a certain sign of the end of Monkton's line. From mortal ken, from light of day, Monkton's race shall pass away.
Ada, this is the end, absolutely the end. 9 o'clock and not a word from him.
Oh, Mother, stop fretting. Alfred will come, I know he will.
But when? When? The engagement dinner was at 7, if you'll remember.
But what difference does it make?
Ada Elmsley, I do believe you're still in love with Alfred Monkton.
Of course I am.
After all the terrible humiliation he's put us to, how could you be? How could any self-respecting woman? And to think you broke off your engagement with William Seeley, the nicest boy in the whole county. Oh, what gossip the servants will make.
Mother, please.
In 2 minutes, it'll be all over the village. Alfred Monkton didn't arrive, not even a word of apology. I can hear them now. Oh, the humiliation.
Mother, please, sit down and be quiet.
I will not be quiet. I tell you, Ada, I tell you, I'm glad, really glad. I hope you'll never see him again.
Mother, how could you say such a thing?
Because it's true. You know as well as I do, there's something very strange going on in Wincott Abbey. Something nobody understands.
Oh, you've been listening to village gossip again.
I've been using my own good eyes and ears. Do you know why Alfred Monkton keeps himself cooped up in that ancient abbey day after day after day, never receiving anybody, making a hermit of himself?
You exaggerate. He's a scholar. He studies most of the time.
That's the lamest explanation I ever heard. How you could ever be in love with such an eccentric man is beyond me. And to have him deliberately... Oh, I don't care if he has £1 million a year. I'll not allow you to marry him.
Oh, we've gone over this so many times. If I don't marry him, it'll only be because Alfred doesn't want me himself.
Ada!
Look, a carriage on the drive.
Well, it's about time. Is it Mr. Monkton?
I don't know.
Ada, don't see him. Send him away.
Alfred, look, he's coming in.
Alfred! Ada, come back. For my sake, don't see him.
Alfred, you did come. Oh, I knew you would.
Forgive me, Ada. Something has happened. I can't tell you what. I've got to go away.
Oh, Alfred, no.
Maybe that I'll come back. But I can't have you waiting for me, Ada.
You mean our engagement's broken?
Yes.
But why, Alfred?
I can't tell you now.
Well,
when will you return?
I don't know. It may be a long time. Forgive me, Ada. Forget me.
Oh, no. How could I? How could I do that? Alfred, I'll wait. Time doesn't matter. I'll wait for you.
I do love you, Ada. I do. Somehow I'll come back again, I promise. Living or dead, somehow I'll come back to you.
Well, William Seeley. Imagine seeing you here in Naples, of all places. And after so long, too.
Has it been so long, John? Not many years. 5, I think, since Eton.
It seems long. What have you been doing with yourself? Last I heard, you and Ada Elmsley were engaged. What happened?
Oh, I'm afraid we just broke it off, and I've been wandering over Europe, one place to another.
Well, don't tell me you're suffering from broken heart, I believe is what they call it.
Oh, no. Just wanderlust, I think. At least that's what brought me here to the garden of the Villa Real.
And a lucky thing, too. Let's drink a toast, shall we? I say, oh, something the matter?
Huh? No, not really. It's just that fellow over there staring at me as if I were his long-lost brother. It's rather unnerving.
Where? Oh, I say, do you know him?
No, I don't think so. Do you?
Well, only by reputation. He's a character around these parts.
Really? What's his name?
Monckton, I think. Alfred Monckton.
What?
Oh, I say, well, you do know him.
Well, only slightly. I haven't seen him since I was very young. We lived in the same county.
Of course, I remember now. Monckton has Wincot Abbey, I believe.
Yes, and also Ada Emsley.
Oh, I say. Oh, you mean they're married?
No, just engaged. I wonder what he's doing here.
I haven't the slightest notion. Well, look there. He's written a note. He's given it to the waiter.
Yes. Yes, I noticed.
And the waiter's coming to our table.
Mr. William Seeley?
Yes.
The gentleman just leaving, the one over there, asked me to give you this.
Thank you.
You're welcome, sir.
I wonder what Monckton wants with you.
Well, we'll soon see. Here, let's read it. If you are the William Seeley from Wiltshire County, England, will you do me the honor of calling at my flat this evening just before midnight? My need of a friend and confidant is urgent, and I shall be ever grateful for your compliance. My address is below. Alfred Monckton.
Oh. That man gives me the creeps. Are you going?
Yes. I think I will.
He's tormented with some terrible fear. You can see that on his face.
Maybe I can help him for Ada's sake. Still, I wonder what it could be.
Ah, the William Seeley from Wiltshire. I knew it. Come in, come in.
I had no idea you'd left England, Monckton.
3 months ago. Well, thank you a million times for coming tonight.
What's the matter? Are you ill?
No. Please sit down. Thanks. Will you have some wine? I'm sorry. I forget. I have no wine here. Wait a moment. Do you mind sitting in strong light?
Why, no, not at all.
It's easier for me to talk in strong light. Here, the reading lamp. Some candles. My hand's shaking. Would you like them for me?
Of course.
Thank you.
How's that?
It's much better. Light makes me calmer. Seeley, can I trust you? I want to tell you why I'm here and what I'm looking for. It's hard to believe, but I'd like to hear you say that you'll tell nobody the secret.
Well, of course I promise, Monckton.
Thank you. I can trust you. I know I can. Seeley, you were engaged to Ada Elmsley once.
Yes, but she broke it off soon after she met you, old man.
Yes, I know. She told me. I'm sorry, Seeley. But we love each other very much. Though I can never marry her. Never.
But why?
Come, I'll show you. Here in this room.
What is it? There's nothing here.
Wait till your eyes grow accustomed to the darkness. Come here a moment.
Box. Why, Monckton, it's an empty coffin.
I take it with me wherever I go. Every moment of my life is built around this casket, Seeley, because I'm searching for the body of a dead man.
Whose body?
Stephen Monckton, my uncle. The coffin's for him. Come. Let's go back to the light. Sit down. Sit down and I'll tell you all about it.
Are you sure you want to?
More than anything in the world. I can't live with this thing much longer. I'm a haunted man. Haunted by fears and a curse. Listen. One evening last February, I was standing alone in one of the deserted rooms of the Western Turret at Wincot Abbey, looking at the sunset. Suddenly, I felt a sensation stealing over me. I could feel my very soul creeping out of my body. And yet I wasn't unconscious. For a long time, I stood there by the window, and then I began to see the form take shape. It seemed to creep from the shadows, advancing slowly, faintly luminous, until it stood beside me.
What was it?
The apparition of Stephen Monkton, his ghost. That was how I knew he was dead.
Did you have a strong regard for him?
Oh, not at all. I should have been ashamed to feel any at all. He disgraced us wherever he went.
Oh. Did you see him frequently?
Only 3 times in my whole life.
Then why are you so concerned?
You'll know in a moment. From an article in a French newspaper, I found out how he died. My uncle fought a fatal duel with the Count Saint-Lô, somewhere outside the Neapolitan states. The place of the duel was kept secret. Only the seconds knew where it was fought. Now, they too are dead. But this I know. Wherever it was, Stephen Monkton was left unburied on the ground where he fell. I must find the place where he lies, Celia. I must.
I don't understand, Monkton. Why is it so important to you?
Oh, forgive me, I'm sorry. I tell the story so badly. Listen, did you never hear of the curious old prophecy about our family that's still preserved among the traditions of Wincot Abbey?
Yes, I believe I did, but it was a long time ago.
Well, it's been passed along from a remote time, and I myself found the verses of the prophecy. That's why I secluded myself, looking for it.
Where did you find it?
On a blank leaf of an Abbey manuscript. The verses say, when in Wincot Vault a place waits for one of Monkton's race, when that one forlorn shall lie graveless under open sky, that shall be a certain sign of the end of Monkton's line. From mortal ken, from light of day, Monkton's race shall pass away. You see the terrible thing it says.
What does it say exactly?
It says that the last of the Monktons will die when one of us lies unburied. I am the last Monkton. And every member of the family lies in the vault of Wincot Abbey, except one. The prophecy dooms me to death, even if I find him. Now you know the story, and why I can never marry Ada. But I love her with all my heart, and I shall go back to her someday, dead or alive.
Are you afraid of dying because of this superstition?
No, not of dying, Celia. I'm afraid of living, of being tormented if I do live. If I set out tomorrow to look for my uncle's body, where do I go first? Where? Oh, Celia, what am I to do? You know how to help me. This misery has made me unable to help myself.
I'll help you, Monkton, whatever way I can. It seems to me...
Yes.
Well, it seems to me logical to suppose that the duel was fought somewhere near the Neapolitan frontier.
Hmm?
So, if I were looking for the place, I'd follow the frontier to the Lonely Mountains, asking every native if he had seen 2 carriages in the road last February. Surely then you'd come across some clue.
You're right, Celia. It's an inspiration. Come with me. Please, come with me and help me find the dead man, will you, Celia?
All right, Monkton. I'll help you. But tell me one thing. Why did you say you're afraid of living, of being tormented if you do?
Because I'm never alone, except when there's strong light in my eyes.
What do you mean?
I mean his ghost standing beside you now. A death glare in his black eyes. For ever since the day he was murdered, waking or sleeping, day and night, Stephen Monkton's ghost is with me wherever I go, screaming for me to bury the unburied dead.
Bury the unburied dead, Alfred Monkton. Bury the unburied dead.
Seeley, would you take the reins for a while?
What's the matter, Monkton? You look tired.
Oh, it's nothing. The search just seems so hopeless. Will we ever find him? Will we ever find him?
Oh, you must have patience. It's only been a week and the frontier hills aren't far from here. How's the coffin riding?
The canvas covers it well. He's still with us. Always with us.
The ghost, you mean?
Yes. Just yonder by the roadside. Suspended. Moving ahead. Waiting for his burial. I tell you, Celia, I'd rather die a million times than be companioned by a bleeding ghost.
Look. There's an old woman on the road. She might know something.
Oh, yes. Stop the wagon.
Whoa there. Excuse me, Signora. Do you live here on the frontier?
Si, Signor.
Do you remember about 3 months ago seeing two carriages take this road?
No, Signor.
Then perhaps you heard talk of a duel that was fought near here by two men named Monkton and the Count Saint-Lô.
No, Signor. But wait. Now, I remember during February, two richly adorned carriages did pass my house late in the afternoon.
Which way did they go?
They were headed for the hills and very fast.
Thank you so much. Seely, what luck. Let's go, quickly.
Martin, calm yourself. All day you've been tense and I know you're feverish.
I'm all right, I tell you. If we hurry, we can make the hills by sundown. Let me have the reins. Get up there. Get up.
Monkton, don't drive so fast. You'll kill the horses.
Look, we're in the foothills. Surely this is the place. This must be the place.
I know, but it's growing dark and the road stretches. Hold on there, Monkton. Look, what's that on the road?
A man with a lantern.
He's motioning for us to stop.
Whoa! Whoa!
Signori, you take this road at your own risk.
Who are you?
A sentinel from the village of San Bastia.
And what's the matter with the road? A cave-in?
No, nothing so simple, signori. The road passes an ancient monastery fallen into ruins. It is my duty to warn you that the road surrounding it is haunted.
Haunted by what?
By a witch that scream in the night. The people here will not go near the wood. So frightened are they.
Celia, we found the place. We found it.
But we must go on, Signor. We're not afraid. Thank you for warning us.
You go at your own risk, then. And the guard will protect you.
Get up there! Look, Monkton. There in the moonlight, the ruins of the monastery.
Oh, there. Oh, this is the place, Seely. I know it is. Jump down. All Let's right. search it quickly. Monkton. Listen to that. You hear him too now. Stephen Monkton pleading for me to bury the unburied dead.
Where's it coming from?
Yonder, on the hill. Come.
You see his ghost?
Wavers in the moonlight and beckons from the doorway of the monastery. Seely, we found the place at last. At last. Come on.
Here. Here's the door, Mom.
Yes.
Here. Help me push it in. There. Come on. Come on. Come on, I lead the way.
Look. The roof's fallen in.
Monkton, wait. Look yonder. A slab of stone in the moonlight, looking up to the sky.
The body of Stephen Monkton.
Say, he looks alive. His shirt is wet with blood.
So he would remain forever, left here, uncovered to the sky. When we place him in the vault at Wincot Abbey, his body will crumble, and he'll be dust again. Come, it's a long way to England. Let us fetch the coffin. There's the ship, Seely. There's the Flora.
Yes, and that looks like her captain.
Captain King?
Hello there.
May we see you a moment, sir?
Surely you can. Always glad to oblige a fellow Englishman.
Remember, Seely, price is no object. You talk to him.
All right.
Well, what can I do for you, my lads?
They told us at the consul's office that your ship, the Flora, is sailing for England.
Right you are. On the way home again.
Well, we're rather anxious to get to England ourselves, Captain. Will you take us? We'll pay whatever you ask.
Well, now, can always use a few extra shekels. But I say, what's in that box on your wagon?
It's an antique statue. I
treasure of art, Captain. We're taking it back with us.
Oh, well, now, I think we can arrange passage all right. How about £50 for the lot of you?
Yes, I think that's agreeable. Fine breeze in the sails tonight, Captain.
Right you are, Mr. Seeley. She's blowing straight for England, and quick, too. Mr. Monckton coming up for a breath of air. Oh,
I'm afraid he's not the world's best sailor, Captain. He's staying close in the cabin.
Great Scott. What's that? Sounds like the very devil a wailing in the night.
Yes. Yes, so it does. Excuse me, Captain. I think I'll go below.
Jonesy! Hear that wail like a blooming banshee?
Arthur?
Find out where it came from.
Monckton, your ghost is haunting the ship.
I know, Seeley. I heard him too.
But what do we do? They'll find out there's a dead man in the casket. Those sailors are dangerously superstitious.
But what can I do? He screams to be buried in Wincott Abbey, Seeley, and he'll haunt me till I lay his body there.
Oh, but I never, never thought this way.
Mr. Monckton, open the door.
Seeley, that's the captain. Come in, Captain.
There's something wrong among the men. They're silent and afraid. One of the Maltese boys is saying there's a dead body in that packing case there. Is he right?
No, Captain. It's only a harmless marble statue.
Well, I wish one of you'd contradict the boy, then. The men are a parcel of fools who believe in ghosts. There might be trouble if this keeps up.
We'll speak to the men, Captain.
Fine. But do it soon. Because another hour will see you through Gibraltar Strait and in the open sea. Good night.
Good night, sir.
Seeley. Did you hear that? The open sea, then England.
But the crew, the captain's right. Monckton.
No, wait. Believe me, it's best to wait. Look, the sun's coming up, and the ghost will be silent until nightfall. Then we'll be inside of England, and it'll be done, Seeley. It'll be done.
Captain King, how much farther to England?
Yeah, port's just over the horizon, Mr. Seeley. Oh, but take a look at that black cloud. I'm not liking it. You men, go aloft there. Take in that sail.
But what is it, a squall?
The likes of which you'll never see again, I'll wager. Blast those seamen. Tempers are up because Mr. Monckton's stubborn silence. Get a move on you there, you men. Better get below, Mr. Seeley. We're beginning to roll.
Seeley, what is it? The ship's in danger, I know it is.
I've come to fetch you, Monckton. They're cutting away the foremast. The ship sprung a leak.
Oh, no, I can't leave him here.
Oh, what difference does the body make now? The men are already taking to the boats. Come on.
No, I can't go, I can't. I'll be haunted the rest of my life. I'd rather die, Seeley. I'd rather die.
Monckton, what are you doing? There's no time.
Look, we can back him out into one of the boats. I must get him to England. I must.
No, Monckton. No, the men will kill you.
I must.
Monckton, the ship's broke through.
Come quickly,
Seeley. Save your own life,
Seeley. Mine is gone when this coffin sinks in the sea. I've got to save. I've got to take it back to Wincott Abbey. You go before it's too late. Seeley, go!
From the bottom of the sea, Alfred Monckton walked to the land of England and bury the unburied dead. Walk with the brine of the sea in your eyes and the body of an unburied Monckton in your arms. Walk to the vault of Wincott Abbey where peace is and death. Bury the unburied dead Alfred Monckton at Wincott Abbey. At Wincott Abbey, and give my ghost eternal peace. Bury the unburied Monckton dead.
Alarm! Alarm! say to open the door. It's William Seeley.
William, what's the matter?
Come with me quickly. Alfred Morton's returned to England. You can help him if you only come quickly.
Alfred! Oh, what's happened, William? It's nearly dawn. Where is Alfred?
We were shipwrecked tonight in the channel. A merchant ship picked up most of the crew, but Alfred was left aboard.
Oh.
I thought he had drowned, but somehow, in some incredible way, he got ashore.
But where is he now?
On his way to Wincott Abbey. Oh, please, come quickly. We can meet him there. I have a carriage waiting.
Wait, I'll get a wrap. Oh, William, I knew Alfred would come back someday. I knew he would.
Come. He's not on the road. We'll wait for him at the Abbey vault.
Why at the vault?
Because he was carrying the corpse of Stephen Monkton in his arms. Come now.
William, look. The vault door's wide open. He's there. Alfred's there. Alfred! Alfred!
Ada! Ada, wait!
Alfred, where are you?
Ada, wait a minute. Don't look in there.
But why if he's here?
Come. We'll go in together then. Look. Wet footprints on the floor.
Alfred! Alfred, where are you? Oh. William, look. Two coffins pulled from their narrow places, the lids open. What's it mean?
He said he'd come back. Look. The letters on this one say Stephen Monkton, below the family crest.
What's that inside it?
What's left of the corpse? A pile of sea-soaked clothes and bones.
Oh, how terrible.
Ada, please come away.
No, no, the other one.
Don't look in it.
But I must.
Help him now, Ada. I didn't know. I thought he was alive. But he was drowned in the channel. Now their ghosts will not walk the earth, screaming for a place of burial. He had to come back to Wincott Abbey. Even death could not stop him.
Oh, Alfred. Why? But why?
Come away and I'll tell you. Now the last of the Monktons tormented no longer. He rests in peace. Come, Ada. Look. The sun is coming up.
Wasn't it scary, huh? Mad Monkton. Like, that's one monastery with a monster scary, huh? Really, huh? Some sanctuary that turned out to be. It was sure a far cry from Deer Abbey, huh?
Oh, really?
Why, that was so scary, I nearly made a bow. I mean, vow, huh? Really? Even as it was, Alfred wasn't the only one wet in the end, huh? I'll say this much for old Alfred, though. When he went overboard, he really went overboard, huh? But seriously, folks, seriously. At least you have to admit, he no longer has to keep seeing his uncle, huh? And what an uncle, huh? He couldn't even keep a family relationship afloat, huh? But Alfred still took him home. I guess it just proves that the blood is thicker than water, huh? Now that the uncle's buried on land, the only thing he has to worry about is being eaten by ants, huh? Up next, East Dimension X with People in the Sky So Scary!
Adventures in Time and Space, transcribed in Future Tense. The National Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with Street and Smith, publishers of astounding science fiction, bring you Dimension X. The civilization of the galaxy spread across 200 million worlds. The black void of space swarmed with the ships of the Empire, But far off the trade route, almost forgotten, lay the dying planet Earth. A backwater in galactic culture, a place of exile, a pebble in the sky. I landed on Earth, on the one spot which I would have called civilized. A patch along the desolate heights of the Himalayas, surrounded the palace of the Imperial Governor of Earth.
Dr. Bell Avedon of Sirius Sector. That's a familiar name.
Perhaps you've seen it in the Galactic Archaeological Journal, my Lord Ennis.
Me? No, no. I'm a soldier, not a scientist. It was a newspaper article. You gave an interview about your expedition to Earth. I suppose you want to start digging. Whatever can you find on this miserable heap of rubble?
I don't consider Earth a miserable heap, my lord. It's absolutely unique in the galaxy.
Unique?
It's the only inhabited planet that is radioactive.
It's a pig pen.
Yes, I know. But this planet is inhabited. Biologists have proven that on a radioactive world, high forms of life cannot develop.
High forms? The rest of the galaxy hates the Earthmen, and they return it with interest.
I don't think you understand. I'm not intolerant of anyone, and that even includes Earthmen. My theory is that life on Earth originated before it was radioactive.
Ah, is a story like that in the Earth lore of the ancients?
I know, I've read it.
Oh? I wouldn't admit that here if I were you, Dr. Avedon. It's forbidden for outsiders to read it. The Earthmen get pretty violent about their religion.
Do you mean the Imperial police power here is defective?
It is, in case of sacrilege. Well, now, what do you actually want to prove?
That man originated in prehistoric times on Earth before space travel and spread to the other planets.
What? Are you seriously suggesting that at one time Earth was the only inhabited planet and that man descended from Earthman?
There's a chance it might be so.
You'll change your mind when you see them, Doctor. I'm not an anti-terrestrial, but as far as I can see, they're lazy and ignorant and generally inferior to us. I'm as liberal as the next man, but it's a fact. Once an Earthman, always an Earthman.
I booked passage to the city of Chica on an Earth line. My fellow passengers seemed ordinary enough, but I was conscious of being alone among Earthmen. I beg your pardon. Could you tell me what's going on there?
Sure. You see that couple? They've been married 40 years. It's their anniversary.
Yes, sir. 40 years. Hey, Mother? It seems like yesterday. Just like yesterday.
Hey, when are you folks scheduled for the 60?
In a month. 16th of November.
Well, I hope you have a nice day for it. My father reached his 60 in a pouring rain. Kept complaining we were getting soaked. So I told him, what are you complaining about, Dad? I've got to come back.
This 60 they're talking about, are they referring to their 60th birthday?
Sure. That's when they put you away. Euthanasia. It's a custom. Can't have people living on. Eats up all the food. That's right, isn't it, Pop?
Yes, sir. Mother's coming with me when I reach the 60. She's not due for a couple of months, but she thinks we might as well go together.
Yeah, that's the spirit. There's many a man living past the 60. Sneaks, stealing the food from the next generation. A guy should go when it's his time.
Yes, but suppose
it's only fair to... Hey, where are you from?
I beg your pardon?
Asking all them questions.
Yes. Who are you? A spy? Where are you from?
I'm Bell Avedon from Baron. serious sector.
Oh, an outsider, huh?
Come on, we'll go forward. Did you hear that, Mother? An outsider.
I burned with indignation. Earthmen treating me like an outcast. Earthmen. When we landed, I followed my intention of observing the human animal, subspecies Earth, in its native habitat. In this case, a large department store. Perhaps I resembled a floor walker, for a young Earth girl came up to me and asked a question.
Pardon me, but it's my father. He's about 5'4". He wears eye lenses. I think he had on a brown coat.
I'm afraid I don't remember seeing anyone.
But they followed me here. I've got to find him.
Are you in trouble, miss?
No, it's nothing, really. I'm sorry I bothered you.
Attention. Attention, please.
What's that?
All patrons of the store will kindly leave by the 5th Street exit. This store is being evacuated for radiation fever quarantine.
What's all this about?
They're after me. It isn't really radiation fever at all.
Who's after you?
How am I going to get out of here? They'll be kicking registration cards at the door.
Haven't you got one?
Yes, but it has my name on it. I don't know what to do.
Come on.
But you don't even know me.
I don't know anybody here. But you're an interesting species. Person. This way.
Show your own car. Come on. Step along. Step along. Next. Check. Wait a minute. Forward check.
Yes, sir.
Stand right there.
Look here, officer.
Are you with her?
Yes, but you'd better find out who I am.
Later. Stand over there. Next. Come on.
Hurry up. What is this now?
The Imperials.
Are you afraid of them?
Of course.
Don't worry about the outsiders, Miss Schecht. I'll handle them.
Oh, no, don't try anything. Don't talk to them at all. Just do what they say. Don't even look at them.
We'll see. Here they are.
All right, now. You, guard.
Yes, sir?
I'm Lieutenant Cloudy, Imperial Garrison. Who's got the fever?
If it please your honor.
Not so close, idiot. You might be infected. I'll take over. You, Worthy. What's your name? Speak up, squaw.
Paula Schecht, sir.
Your registration papers?
Here you are, sir.
Thank you. All right, now. Pick them up. Go on.
Say, look here now.
What did you say, Earthy?
If you please, sir, this man has nothing to do with me. I never saw him before.
What did you say?
I don't like the way you treat women. And I'd advise you to improve your manners.
And where have you been brought up, Earthy? Is lesson number one.
Are you...
My arm! Let's go! Sergeant, the Ronic whip!
Oh, no!
Yes, sir.
You're all right now.
What happened?
They gave you full power and the neuronic whip.
Where are we?
The military base. Oh, you should.
Is that... Oh.
Well, Dr. Avedon, we seem to have had an unpleasant contretemps in the city this afternoon.
Unpleasant? I should put it stronger, Colonel. As a free citizen of the Empire, I had every right to resent such illegal treatment.
I consider the whole incident unfortunate, Doctor. Don't you think it would be best to forget the whole matter?
I think not. I have an appointment in a week with the procurator.
Procurator, huh?
What do you intend doing with Miss Schecht?
What would you suggest, sir? I had...
Free her immediately. And offer her your apologies.
Of course. If the young lady will accept my sincere regrets, I will give the order for your release immediately.
But I don't... don't understand. They just turned us loose.
Of course.
You must be very important. I never heard of the outsiders being that polite to an Earthman before.
I'm not an Earthman, Paula.
What?
I'm an archaeologist from the outside.
Oh. Well, then you stood up to the soldiers because you knew it was safe all along. And I thought... Oh, I should have known.
Paula, does my not being an Earthman make me any different from 5 minutes ago?
You might have told me, sir.
If you don't mind, don't call me, sir. Don't be like the rest of them.
Like the rest of whom, sir? The rest of the disgusting animals that live on Earth?
Please.
If you'll excuse me, sir, I must leave.
Oh, wait. Paula. Listen to me. Paula. I had access to the garrison files, and to satisfy idle curiosity, I indexed Polishecht. Her father was a Dr. Mikhail Schecht, biologist. And against his name was a black star with a notation, condemned in absentia. Charge, evading the 60. That was why she was afraid. So I sent a note asking her to meet me in the North Park after dark.
Paula, over here.
Dr. Avedan?
Sit down.
Oh, I want you to understand. I wouldn't have come except...
I understand. I've seen your father's record.
You know about it.
I looked into it, Paula. There doesn't seem to be much that can be done about the 60.
Oh, it isn't that. It's not for my father. It's for the whole galaxy.
What is it?
Earth is going to revolt.
No. All of it?
Oh, don't laugh at me.
Paula. The galaxy has a volume of several million cubic light years. It contains 200 million inhabited planets. Earth has a population of only 20 million. And no resources. What can Earth do?
I don't know, Doctor, but my father does. He's told me that Earth knows a way by which it can wipe out all outside life and... Wait.
Hmm?
Someone coming. Park Patrol. Quick, kiss me.
Hmm?
Don't be stupid. Kiss me. They won't suspect anything.
Oh, yes, of course. Paula.
They've gone. It's all right. Now come with me. I'll take you to my father.
Dr. Avedan, this is a pleasure. I have read your articles in the journal. It is hard to get copies. Our neighbors don't care to trade with Earth. It's part of the nearly insoluble problem of anti-terrestrialism.
No one seems to want a solution. Earthmen and outsiders alike?
Oh, no, that is not true. There is a way of preserving our culture and living as equals in a larger society. But the zealots don't think so.
The zealots?
Yes. They rule Earth now. They are a small minority, but they have power. They have plans.
They planned the revolt, Paula told me?
Yes.
I see. Well, why didn't you report this to the Imperial Garrison?
The Society of Earth Ancients have guarded me too well. Besides, they had a hold on me. I am 62. You know the customs of Earth.
The 60, yes.
They allowed me to live on. The price was silence about the weapon.
You agreed to this?
I wanted to live.
What is this weapon?
You are aware of Earth's peculiar environment, the radioactivity?
Yes.
Over the years, we Earthmen have built up certain immunities to radiation burns, for one.
But it's a minute difference. I measured it experimentally.
Oh, but, Doctor, human life is not the only form affected by radiation and mutation. There is microscopic life, bacteria, viruses. We have been searching out such a virus, one to which Earthmen have developed a high degree of immunity, but not outsiders.
You mean a particular disease?
Yes, common fever. It is a mild children's disease here, like chickenpox or German measles. But to outsiders, it is radiation fever. Symptoms develop in 2 hours. Lips are so badly affected that the victim cannot talk. And in 2 days, he dies.
They've isolated this virus?
Tons of it in crystalline form.
And they plan to let this loose in the galaxy?
By means of guided missiles. Then, frightened refugees will carry the disease across space. And billions will die.
You're sure about this? You have proof?
I worked on the project.
We've got to get to the procurator. I can catch the evening train, but...
Who is it? I don't know.
Open up.
There should have been an alarm.
We've got to get out. Is there a back
entrance? Open up the door.
Don't move. Hands in front of you.
What's the meaning of this? I demand...
Shut up!
I'm a galactic citizen. You've got no right to detain me without legal authority.
I am an Earthman, but I think you'll find I am all the authority needed at this moment, Dr. Avadan. I am Balkas, the High Minister of Earth.
The High Minister? What are you doing?
I always look after distinguished visitors personally.
Avadan does not know anything.
I doubt that, Dr. Schecht. We'll proceed now to the Hall of Correction.
You can't do this. When the procurator...
The procurator will hear nothing until it is too late. The guided missiles will be fired tonight at 12. God, if they make a false move...
Imperial Patrol.
All right, Earthling. What's going on here?
Good morning, Sergeant. Sir? Earthy? You don't understand. I'm Balkas, the Lord High Minister of Earth.
Listen, Earthy, I don't care who you are. What's going on?
Yes, sir. We've arrested these people.
What charge?
Blasphemy.
All right, get moving.
Thank you.
Sergeant.
What do you want, Earthy?
I'm a galactic citizen. I demand the right...
You... May we proceed, sir?
Listen, Sergeant. I've something more to say to you.
What?
This.
No Earthy's going to get away with this.
Get a squad car.
But, Sergeant, I'm the Lord Minister of Earth.
Tell him about it at the Imperial Barracks.
Now move, all of you, before I give you a shot of the whip.
Citizen of the Empire.
Listen.
I can prove it. You'll get into a lot of trouble if you don't believe me.
I'll admit no Earthy would dare spit in my face.
It was the only way I could get to the garrison. I insist on seeing the officer of the day.
I sent for him. You better have a good story.
Attention!
That is. Which one of you claims he's a citizen of the Empire?
I am.
Barrett's the one from the store.
You, eh? The smart louse that broke my arm. Well, well, well.
I've got to see the colonel, Lieutenant.
Now, Dr. Avadan, I could hardly do that unless it's important.
It is important. It's life and death for the galaxy.
Mm-hmm. Come here. Closer. Oh, it's too bad I've got to save you for the colonel.
What?
He'll see you at 5:30, his orders.
You knew all along.
Sure. Come on, Earthy lover.
I'm afraid you're in serious trouble, Dr. Avedon. The man you're accusing is the High Minister for Earth.
I know, but I have proof.
Well?
I can only speak to the procurator. You've got to contact him.
There are channels, Dr. Avedon.
We haven't time for channels. I have the details of the plot from Dr. Schecht. You've got to let me speak to the procurator.
I've already advised him of your arrest. He's flying in. You had better be able to prove what you say. If you don't, we'll have to hand you back to the native authorities and their courts, known notoriously savage.
Well, Avedon, I've called you here with His Excellency, the High Minister for Earth.
My lord, this man is behind the whole plot.
Is he?
There's no time to lose. I've explained to you about the virus. They're shooting off the guided missiles at 12. You've got to take action.
Well, Your Excellency. My lord, if this man has any evidence...
You admitted it this afternoon.
You have no witness to that.
Ask Dr. Schecht. He worked on the virus.
I wouldn't say that Schecht lied, my lord, but he is a criminal wanted for evading the 60, and some men will invent any story to avoid death.
The deadline is midnight. You've got to bomb those temples where the launching sites are.
Perhaps I can explain. According to my information, Dr. Avedon seems to have succumbed to a certain Earth girl, the daughter of the unfortunate Dr. Schecht.
Is this true, Avedon?
What has that got to do with it? There isn't any time. You've got to do...
Dr. Avedon, are you in love with that girl?
Yes, yes. Will you listen to me?
I don't think we need pursue this any further. Your Excellency, I shall order you released with an apology.
No.
Dr. Avedon, I can hardly believe a degenerate who fraternizes with Earth women.
You scum, you pot-bellied scum.
I warn you, Avedon, you're in trouble enough.
I'm in trouble. You fool, you stupid, blind, bigoted fool. You're destroying the galaxy. You're murdering them all. But before I die, I'll have the pleasure of smashing your fat, oily face in the...
Go! Guard is the whip!
Belle, are you all right?
Oh. What time is it?
1:30. Past the deadline. It's all over. Lord Aeneas released the High Minister with an apology.
Doesn't matter. The Empire can wipe Earth out. It won't save any lives. The virus must have been spread here, too. Earthmen are immune, but outsiders...
Belle, you're an outsider.
Yes.
Oh.
I am. We're paying, Paula. The rest of us. Paying for centuries of intolerance.
Oh, Belle.
Look out there. Through the bars. The night sky. 10 points of light. The Empire. Doomed.
Oh, Belle. Belle, don't.
I was just thinking. I came to Earth to prove a theory that man started here. That once in prehistoric times, Earth was the only populated world of the galaxy. Now it will be that way again. Man living only on Earth. He'll forget the science, the machinery of the Empire. He'll forget the stars.
there will be only Earth. Alone in the universe. A pebble. Children of tomorrow will play with toys. But what will those toys be like? An ordinary clerk in an ordinary job finds a terrifying answer to that question next week as Dimension X brings you Child's Play. Dimension X is transcribed each week by the National Broadcasting Company in cooperation with Street & Smith, publishers of the magazine Astounding Science Fiction. Today, Dimension X has presented Pebble in the Sky, dramatized for radio by Ernest Canoy. Featured in the cast were Santos Ortega as Avedon and Susan Douglas as Pola. Your host was Norman Rose, music by Burt Berman. Dimension X is produced by William Welch and directed by Edward King.
Ooh, kids, that was scary, huh? Pebble in the sky. Ironic, isn't it? A hero came for a guided tour and instead got guided missiles, huh? Well, you know how those archaeologists are, huh? They're always getting buried in their work, huh? No, really, I don't mind them getting their rocks off. It's their rockets I worry about, huh? But he tried to warn them about the conspiracy, but they wouldn't listen. Now they all wind up in plots, huh? No wonder our hero was so mad. He came here to uncover bones, and they turned out to be his, huh? So it really was scary. How else could they get so petrified, huh? Well, at least just hope for a little fame and fortune. He may not wind up in the museum, but perhaps the mausoleum, huh? Well, kids, I've got to fly. So until next week, same bat time, same bat station. This is a count saying, waste as many aliens as you want. After all, there'll always be extraterrestrials, huh?
Returns control of your radio device to you until next week.
But now it's just no.